may be seated, and we welcome you to our worship service on this second Sunday of Advent. Christmas is in the air, and we are waiting with great anticipation. We're grateful that all of you are here. It's good to gather, and it's nice to see all the decorations up and be in the festive feeling of the Spirit. Just several announcements, and then when we're done, we'll share some prayer requests, and then we'll enter our worship. On the first announcement you'll see will be the reading that we as a congregation will read during the lighting of the Advent wreath. So when the first reader pauses, we will pick up with that response. That second announcement, if you didn't get a chance to see it last week, please take time to come up and look at this Advent wreath that was made for us by craftsman outside of Radford, Virginia. He goes through his woods around his house and he finds felled trees and he just creates beautiful works. I have a cross that he made that's beautiful, and he made this for us, and I put the woods, he used different woods on it, so just look at that. Also, we want to sign a card for him Thanksgiving. Some of you signed it last week, but in case you didn't, Jen, will you get that circulated? If you didn't sign it, we want to make sure that Keith and Angie know our appreciation. Right after our service today, we'll have our annual congregational meeting. As we are a simple church, it's a simple meeting. And if it goes more than 30 minutes, it's your fault for talking too much. So it should be a short meeting. All we need to do is, by constitution, we need to affirm the new elders, the board for the coming year, and we need to adopt the budget. And then we'll give you some other reporting and see what interest that you might have. But that'll be immediately after the service, so please stay put if you're able to. Also, this is the final day if you want to donate. What's that? This is the final day if you want to donate anything to Mona. This is the final day. Just put that in the memo line if you choose. The Christmas Eve offering, we have a precedent that we collect an offering on Christmas Eve, but every penny of that goes to some need. The need that it's going to be this year is the flooding in North Carolina and Tennessee through Samaritan's Purse. So we will be having that. The dates are there. Next week, you'll see one that's not mentioned. He just called me today. Is Pastor Geraldo, who is the pastor of the church that shares this sanctuary. They are on Saturday. They wanted to invite us to their Christmas party. I'm glad that my schedule will allow. It's a nice, wonderful gesture on their part. Because, you know, we might have different signs above the door here, but in heaven we won't. So I hope you'll be able to attend. It should be a nice festive time. It's this Friday, December the 13th, here at 6:30. So if you can attend, I'm planning to attend 6:30, December the 13th. It's a potluck, but I asked, what do we need to bring? They said, we are their guests, so just show up if you're able to. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. One that I want to give you an update on is Agnes. She sounded absolutely terrible yesterday morning. I'd been talking to her. I knew she had a cold, but I appreciate Judy calling me and cluing me in. So I called Agnes yesterday morning. She sounded terrible. So I wasn't surprised when I heard back from Judy in the early evening that Agnes went to the hospital. When I went to the emergency room, they had given her some medication, so she was actually sounding better and feeling better, but they were going to do some tests, so I left and I told her I'd check in, but as you know, I went to bed around 8:30, and as you know, Agnes called me about 10 o'clock and told me, yes, I've got pneumonia. So they're able to treat that, but let's keep Agnes in our prayers. All of those, I know several in our congregation have been struggling with one form or the other of issues like that. So let's keep them in prayer. Any other items of prayer? Tony.
did they admit her or are they sending her home?
I've not talked to her since last night. So I don't know if they'll admit her this afternoon, but she was going to be staying in the emergency room. I'll find out if they're admitting her or not. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I have two prayer requests. One is for my mom's brother, who Gary Smith. He just fell a couple of days ago at his hospice house and broke his hip. So he did have the surgery and is now in recovery. But we'll see how it goes.
Where is he? Is
he's
down
in Spotsylvania.
Okay.
And one of the nurses at Bedford Hospice House, Tammy, her son, and I believe he's 28, his name is Jesse, and he's having a valve replacement. He's having a heart surgery. They're going to do a valve replacement and one other thing while they're in there. So we just want to keep them in our prayers.
All right. And it's good to have your sister and Tim with us, and
yes,
we welcome you and Jingles. So we're glad that all of you are here. Any other items? Yes?
Greg.
Let's keep Greg in prayer. Anyone else? Webb.
My brother John and Beth that were here last week, their neighbors, Vanessa and Augustine, lost their baby. She was 12 weeks pregnant.
Oh.
And they just lost their baby, and Beth called me in here the other day and asked if you could pray for them.
Can you try to get an address from Beth or John?
Yes, sir.
I'd love to send a card to them.
Yes, sir.
So let's keep, and it was, wasn't it beautiful last week seeing four people baptized, and John was one of those. And it's John and Beth's neighbor down in Jacksonville. They lost their 12-week-old child. So let's keep. Did they know a gender?
I don't know.
I didn't know when you could tell. Okay. Let's keep them in prayer. Anyone else? Yes, Tom.
Yeah, my friend Warren Davis fell and broke his hip. He's in Guggenheim's, but he can't walk. And they can't operate because it's the second time this year he's fell and broke that hip.
And Warren's not that old, is he?
He's 70.
Yeah. Let's keep Warren and Davis in our prayers. Broke his hip. Yes.
Keep Katie in prayer.
Let's keep Katie in prayer. Her procedure went well, and she's been feeling, I haven't talked to her today, but she's been feeling marvelous. So let's keep Katie in prayer. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, our hearts are filled with the joy of this season. For we know that we are awaiting that which is not yet come in our celebration, but we know, because your word says so, it's as truly here as if it was already here. And that is that love came down in the form of your precious Son, our Savior. And because of that, every day is a holiday. Every day is a day of resurrection. Every day truly is a Christmas day. And we pray that we would live in such attentiveness that that the birth of Christ in Bethlehem as important will be superseded by knowing that Jesus Christ is born in our hearts. And we live and move and have our being in His grace and peace, His hope, His joy, and His love. And we thank You for that. We thank You also that You care for even all of the details of life, no matter how minor or major, You care for us, and we're grateful. And we offer these to You. We thank You for how well Katie is doing. We pray that You'll continue to strengthen her. We pray that the medication will continue to take care of the pneumonia in Agnes, and may she be able to go home as quickly as possible. We pray for others in our congregation that are in different stages of needing just a healing touch. We pray that You would be with Tony's uncle, Gary, as he broke his hip. We just pray that pain will be kept to a minimum. Encourage him, we pray. We also pray that you would be with the nurse at the hospice house in Bedford, as Jesse, her son, is having a valve replacement. We pray even now that you'll prepare his body for the procedure, and may the surgeons and all those involved draw on the very best of the skills that they've received from you. May it go well, we pray. Comfort Tammy and her family. Give Jesse a peace as he approaches his surgery. We pray that you continue to be with Greg and just continue to encourage him. We pray that you would be with Vanessa and Augustine in the loss of this 12-week-old child. We know that as wonderful as hope is, we also know those times in life when hope is deferred, it can make the heart sick, and there's grievance, and they're grieving, rightfully so. So may friends and family draw close and comfort and strengthen them. May your spirit draw close and give them the encouragement that only you can give. We pray that you'd be with Warren as he has broken his hip. May you encourage him. I know it must be frustrating to him, and we just pray that you would encourage him. We also pray that you would be with the one that weighs on our hearts or minds that comes to our thoughts at this time. Bless, work, and bring the comfort that only the God of all comfort can bring. And we know you will, so we thank you in advance and pray in your holy name. Amen. You'll join with me on the front of the bulletin. We always gather after we light the candles.
The prophet Malachi calls us to watch for the messenger God will send us, a messenger who burns with a passion for God's coming salvation. For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness.
In a world driven by passion to maintain the status quo, we choose to live with the passion for God's peace, to listen to those who call us to righteousness, and to submit ourselves to God's grace, that we might be refined and purified until we reflect God's love throughout the earth.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to passionately pursue the work of making peace in our hearts, our families, our communities, and throughout the earth, until God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.
Now, if you will join me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us to the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify, that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 66 to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 217, Thou Stood Leave Thy Throne. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name.
Come now and see the works of God, how wonderful he is in his dealing toward all people.
He hurried the sea into dry land, so that they went through the waters on foot, and there we rejoiced in him.
In his might he rules forever, his eyes he watched over the nations, let ever
bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Who holds our souls in life, and will not allow our feet to slip.
For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us just as silver is tried.
You brought us into the snare. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs.
You let enemies ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us out into a place of refreshment.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings, and will pay you my vows, which I promised with my lips, and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble.
Thank you.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in the righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppose the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. And therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Our prayer hymn is Hymn of Promise, which is on the back inside flyleaf of our hymn. Give us a heart, Lord, that looks for your coming on a daily basis. Help us to live our lives where we're constantly seeking your presence, hopeful that you will show today your strong hand. Show us how we need to be refined, purified, and forgiven. Give us the strength to ask for forgiveness, and then the peace to receive it, and then to live our lives seeking you to follow your Son in great hope. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from Philippians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Praise due only your name. exalt your name through and your word in our world. In your spirit we pray. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Mark and Bonnie, that offertory was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. And Jen, you mispronounced four of those names. How would anyone know? I always tickle when usually new students or new pastors correct people on their pronunciation of Greek or Hebrew. Obviously, they missed that lesson that talked that they were dead languages. No one really knows how it was spoken, so be careful where you're dogmatic. The grace and peace of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Continuing on these sermon series in Advent, as I've talked about, looking at songs and different things, have you ever noticed how many different Christmas hymns and songs talk about travel or movement? I thought of some over this past week. Driving home for Christmas, here comes Santa Claus. I'll be home for Christmas. Oh, come, all ye faithful. meet me under the mistletoe. And probably the one that is not really Christmas or Thanksgiving, but it's always in a winter scene, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. It's all about travel. I remember as a young boy watching a movie that would become a series. It was one of my favorite as a young teenager, The Waltons. But the movie, you may have seen it, 1971, was called Homecoming. Patricia O'Neill is the mother there, and it's set on Christmas Eve, 1933. And if you've seen the movie, probably the most powerful part of the movie for me is when the father, John, has gone to New York looking for work, and he's trying to make it home, and John Boy goes out and looks, and there are these scenes that's dark and snowy and cold, and the snow is going, and the lights are not very bright on the automobile, and they're trying to travel and reunite the family. I looked up some facts. 80 million people traveled this past Thanksgiving. I'm glad I'm not one of them. And AAA predict that 115 million people will travel this Christmas. Christmas and travel go hand in hand. It makes sense, doesn't it? The very first Christmas, Mary and Joseph traveled 90 miles from Bethlehem to Nazareth. On a good day, that would take 4 days. She was pregnant, so they might have been stopping every 15 minutes, but they traveled. The shepherds left their fields to travel to see this newborn child. The Magi from Persia traveled. It took them many, many months to come. But all of that sort of a reflection of the biggest space that was crossed. And that is when Jesus Christ was incarnated as a son. When in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But Paul will remind us in Galatians 4 that that didn't happen until after the fullness of time. Christmas and travel go hand in hand. I love to travel. But there's one thing about travel that you can't avoid, unless you're one of those people that believe in time travel, and there maybe you do, is traveling takes time, doesn't it? You can't, like Bewitched, push your nose and be there. It takes time. And the trips can be long. And we've all probably been on trips that the joy of going is soon replaced with the overwhelming desire that we just want this thing to be over. Some people are poor travelers. They get impatient. Are we there yet? They get car sick. They get bored. They begin to question whether or not it's even worth going. Or if they've got the right directions. And then there's often that thought, let's just go back. See, not everyone that starts a trip finishes. Some quit. We're not called to quit, we're called to finish. And we're told that those who finish will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. But in order to finish, I'm going to suggest to you that there's one essential trait. No one would ever finish. Everyone would quit if you didn't have this one trait. And that trait is hope. Hope. Hope that you'll get there. Only a fool would continue if they had no hope they could finish. Only a fool would begin if they thought that they would not reach and would not be able. And there's always that hope. I've told you before, I think, a friend of mine, I haven't seen him for 20-some years because I left the Roanoke area, is a thru-hiker of the Appalachian Trail, a little more than 2,100 miles. And Leonard has thru-hiked three times that I'm aware of. He may have done it since then. And a thru-hiker is one usually starting in Springer Mountain and they go through to Maine. And he has done it three times. He's written several books on thru-hiking the Appalachian Trail. But if the strange thing is, if you would meet Leonard, he doesn't look like your average hiker. He's about 5'6", square. I mean, he's a real big guy. He doesn't look like the athletic type. But Leonard has a theory about thru-hiking that I think is true for life or any journey. He says that the easiest part is the physical part. He said no matter what condition you begin in 3 weeks, you're going to be in shape. He said the most difficult thing to finish on that long journey is attitudinally. You've got to be okay that you're only going to have sun about 2 out of 3 days. You've got to be okay with extreme loneliness. You've got to be okay with difficult steps. You've got to be okay and know how to handle despair. I personally know what it is, and if you've done it, words cannot adequately tell you the despair that you feel when you've walked several days through rain and you go to bed and you wake up on a cold early morning and put on a pair of wet boots knowing that you're going to walk another 20 miles in the rain. You may not know that feeling in hiking, but don't you feel that way sometimes in life? You're having to put on these same wet boots and trudge another day's work in the rain. And I'm going to suggest to you, you're not going to do it if you don't have hope. In one of my favorite movies, a wonderful movie about friendship, Shawshank Redemption. After a particular event, Andy comes out, and most people would have been dejected, and Andy flops down beside a wall where Red, his good friend, is sitting. And Red looks over because Andy did something that he thought was pretty smart. He played music over the loudspeaker, but the warden didn't, so he got solitaire for that. And Red looks over, and I'm going to quote the dialogue. This is Red, and he says, Red says, you know, Andy, sometimes I think hope is a dangerous thing. It can drive a man crazy, especially in this place. Better just to accept what you've got. Andy, very calmly. Hope is a good thing, Red. Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. Even a place like this, you can't let go of it. Red scoffs. Easy for you to say, Andy. You've got your fancy library and your music. What about the rest of us? We're just stuck here counting the days. Andy. But Red, if you can't see it, there's always a chance, a possibility of something better. That's what keeps us going. Red sighs. I guess I just don't see how you can hold on to that belief after all this time. The system is designed to break you down, Andy. Andy. Then we have to fight back, Red. We have to keep fighting, even if it's just for a little bit of hope. There's some silence, and then Red says softly, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe hope is all we've got. And I'm going to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that even stronger than the conversation between Andy Dufresne and his good friend Red, our hope is not only that which motivates us and that we must hold on. Our hope is sure. Because our hope is not in the system and our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in what we heard Barry read for us. Our hope is that we're not doing the job. It's not up to us. It's not our work. We're not hoping that we get it right. He says in verse 6 of Philippians 1, I am confident. I am sure. I am absolutely certain that he that has begun a good work in you will bring it to fruition. See, the reason I have hope is not because I know I'm good. The reason I have hope is not because I finally figured it out. In some ways, I feel like I'm dumber than I've ever been. In some ways, I feel like it's 3 steps forward and about 28 back. I don't have hope because of me. I have hope because I have a sure promise that it's His work. And I'm absolutely confident that He will finish His job. You know what God doesn't have that you do? How many of you, well, don't show me your hands, it'd be everyone. How many of you at home or in your mind have unfinished projects that you just haven't gotten around to? Or you started and you kid yourself because you keep them. You ought to throw the stuff away, but you keep it because we kid ourselves that one day we're going to get around to it. Do you know God doesn't have any unfinished projects? Everything He intends to do, He accomplishes. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55:11 that I send out my word, and behold, it will accomplish that which I intend to it. We also read in Philippians that we are not only confident that He'll finish it, and that's our hope, but we are confident that it'll be good, that good work in you. The Greek word there is beautiful. He's made everything beautiful. But there's a phrase there that speaks of trial and a journey. He's made everything beautiful in His time. That's our hope. It's what keeps us going. Let me close with a story. I saw a picture painting or print some years ago, and it was, I've only seen it once. I wish I could buy it, but I can't find it. It was a scene of a farmhouse that was burned down. And you could tell by the way the farmer did it, the artist did it, that it was recently burned. There's still smoke and stuff coming up. And nothing is standing at this farmhouse. It looks like it's in the 30s or 40s. Probably in the midst of the Depression, except the chimney and charred, smoking remains. In the foreground, there's an elderly grandfather wearing nothing but his full one-piece underwear set. And there's a young boy clutching onto his pair of bib overalls, and you can tell the young boy is crying. And the caption underneath it is this grandfather says to the boy, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." I don't know all of your story. Well, as a small church of beautiful things, I know most of your stories. I know most of what you're going through. But I don't know all of them. Maybe not even your family knows all of them. I don't know what you feel like, there's no hope. But let me tell you, Paul and that grandfather would simply say, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." And that's our hope. Amen?
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together.
Using the words of the Apostles' Creed, together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Constant God, with you 1,000 years are like one day. We thank and praise you because you have not been slow about your promise, but have patiently waited that all might come to repentance. In John the Baptist, you sent a herald who embodied the prophecies of your chosen people and announced the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through baptism, you offer us the forgiveness of sins, and the water of cleansing, you clothe us anew in your Spirit. You invite us into the heritage of your prophets and the destiny of your saints. In your Son's death, you lay down your life for us. And in raising him from the tomb, you inaugurate your eternal kingdom of peace. And so we join angels and archangels and the company of heaven, singing forever of your glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you call your people to wait for and hasten the day of your coming. We long to open wide the gates and spread apart the everlasting doors, that you, our King of Glory, may enter among us and we may say, here is our God. Fulfill our hopes and send now your gracious Spirit on your people and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gentle God, you feed your flock like a shepherd and gather your lambs into your arms. Speak tenderly to all who linger under the shadow of exile, imprisonment, exclusion, or rejection. Give your children the joy of knowing that they have served their term, that their penalty is paid, and that they shall receive back from your hand double for all that they have ached to lose. Where your people are isolated on a mountaintop, cry to them that their mountain will be laid low. Where they are in the valley of despair, whisper to them that they shall be exalted. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, hasten the coming of our new day begun, when we shall see the wonder of your tender face. When the grass never withers and the flowers never fades, because you are all in all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, the Hebrew has several words for the word hope. One, ironically, is also the Hebrew word for the word rope. I think that's a beautiful coincidence, because I would suggest to you that our hope that's given to us by the Spirit and placed in the goodness of God is the rope that holds us secure when the road is rocky. May we renew our hope, binding ourselves to the goodness of the Lord. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to this, his table. It's not this church's table, this is the Lord's table. All those who love our Lord and Savior in sincerity and truth are invited to come. We practice by intinction. I'll give you bread. You dip it into the chalice. Then come forth and pray here. Andy will be here if you'd like to have someone join you in a prayer.
and we will celebrate the feast, for our Passover lamb is here.
Thank you.
gracious God, we thank you for the blessings of your presence in our lives. It truly is our strength. We thank you for your joy. It gives us hope. We thank you for your love that establishes peace. In other words, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We pray in his holy name. Amen. To confess to God that we are grateful that the rope that we hold on to is not made of shifting sand, but it's a solid rock. Let us stand and sing hymn 511. But it simply tells three things. And I think it would be good to end and begin this year with this. It's Romans 12, 12. Here are the three things. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That's about sums it up.
Amen.
Now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to prevent us faultless before the throne, to God our Savior, who is alone, is wise and just, may all glory and majesty be unto him both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Amen.